And you may be seated, and if the children would like to travel with Miss Divi during our time, we have the children go to children's church, and then they come back in following. Again, I remind you, if you have not gotten a copy of the Grand Sweep and to jump in and reading through the Scripture, we really want to encourage you to do. You didn't know they were all there, did you? So, I have asked today is I'm going to give you just a little quick teaching. We're going to use a screen PowerPoint presentation just for a minute. Not during the message, but just for this part, to let you know what we're about to launch out into to be in our stewardship campaign that we'll start. This week, you will be, last week you should have received an email, if you're a member of this congregation, that your giving was given to you. We send that out as a quarterly statement, and that's just to let you know if you made a pledge and commitment of where it is. It's not a bill or anything, but if there's any discrepancy, always call the church office. Debbie does that. This week, you're going to receive an envelope. We mail this out every year. And inside that, it will contain a letter that explains stewardship. It will also have an estimate of giving card we're going to talk about and a step chart that you have inside your bulletin. It is, personally, we're written 175 individual to you, individuals of the 331, I'm going to use the term giving units. That's a terrible term, but whether it's one person or five people in the family, there are, according to our roll of 1,027 members, there's 331 giving units that's there. 175 we sent personal notes to, some others. What we did at this point, we sent a general letter to everybody that was sent, that was a standard letter. The letter is very important because it doesn't mean you're just another number, that you're not just another person for another dollar. The letter explains stewardship of the church. Stewardship matters, and stewardship changes everything. If you're here for the first time, we do this every year, and it's important. You're probably saying, God, it's the first time I've come back to church in 22 years, and he's going to talk about money. That's why I don't go to church. This is sort of about it, but it's really not, okay? So that's what we're going to do. So when you look at this, the blessings of the tithe, it's what God wants for you, not what God wants from you. 2019, starting Advent, we're going to be looking, there's no place, like home. And part of it is there's no place that you find greater love and acceptance and warmth. And there's also, there, and it feels so good, and there's also no place like that you feel hurt and pain and frustration and brokenness like home when it takes place there too. So we're going to look through that throughout the year, all right? And again, we're going to look at what God wants for us, not necessarily what God wants from us, all right? So the estimate of giving card that you will have in there, lines up, and you can see this, and down the side, y'all have it back there? Very good, okay. Down the right-hand side, what it does is it has the stewardship letter in it, and then the left side, you see, is updating our records. You don't necessarily have to fill it all out, but if your address changed, your email, and that's always important because we try to keep the records up and get communication out to everybody the same communication. So if there's any discrepancies there, please let us know. And the commitment card, by the way, is for us for records, but it's really for you to make it because when you take a piece of paper and a pen, something happens when you write something down. When you think about it, but when you write it out, I will or whatever. Maybe that's why our teachers always said, I will not chew gum in class. I want you to do it all those times. Something happens there. But there's four areas down the side. The first one is your commitment to prayer. One of the things I'm talking about the staff this week is the first of the year, I want us to start handing out during the month a little tent, a little card that's probably about like that, a business card, that you can put maybe in your bathroom, on your kitchen table, on your car, and it's prayers, you know, praying for our church and also praying for our emphasis and mission of the month. This is the first foundation is our mission emphasis today, so we would pray for them and for those individuals. And maybe on those cards we're going to, but prayer is how often will you pray? A lot of times we forget to pray and we need reminders. So maybe that'll be it. So how often will you pray? Everybody needs to pray each and every day, but how much will you commit to it? The second one is also your prayer and praying for the ministries of the church and your pastor is so, so important. Then your presence. The presence is something that your participation. It's one thing when you're away. I'm glad you have, some of you have homes in different places and family and you get to go see and visit them and be there and come back and travel and all kind of excursions. When you're away. But when you're here, always work that participation of being here because it makes a difference. This weekend, I left Thursday and went to Orlando and stayed in Disney. Didn't go to it. That's like the Bataan Death March. I just don't, that's not my thing to do that. But I was there Thursday for the meeting and Friday and flew back in last night because this is where I want to be. This is Veterans Day. This is very special to me in our time of being together, and I want to be here. There's other times when I'm on vacation, I'm not. But if I'm here, I want to be here. And that is so much important of why you should do that is always, if there's something you can put off till later in the afternoon to be able to do that, to be able to go to be here with each other, because it's very important in the presence. Because most of us are gone 12 to 24 Sundays out of the year because we have to travel or we go see somebody or whatever. So when you take that into account, so that's to think about that. Really make a commitment, and how will you honor it? That's for you, not to me. I'm not going to keep up with it, all right? The other part is reading the Scriptures. We should read the Scripture each and every day. A book on the shelf with all the great knowledge or on the coffee table or on the dashboard is not going to do any good just by sitting there. If you will commit, how many times will you read during the week to be able to read the Scriptures, and how much to be able to do it is the impact. I love music. It's like today. To hear this on the radio would be a recording would be beautiful, wouldn't it? It doesn't compare to what you just saw and experienced being here live, does it? Y'all are all Methodists. Nobody moved their head, said anything. Okay, right. But what I'm saying is the same thing with the Scripture. Commit to it of when you do it and when you hold it and when you read it. Right? And commit. And the last one is this of the financial giving. And it's the step chart, because what you do does matter in this aspect. And so Consecration Sunday is going to be next Sunday or any Sunday that you wish to. And you bring your card, your estimate of giving, you talk about it, you pray about it, and you put it on the altar as an act of worship. You can bring it the 25th or any Sunday, and you can change it as you see each and every week. So if for some reason, let's say you're making $36,000 a year and you lose your job, then the next week you're not expected to, when you don't make anything, you don't give anything off of that. I don't understand. But also, if you happen to double your salary, we want to make you to have a freedom to be able to double your pledge, if that's the case with it. But that's the part of it. Now, let's very quickly, I want to go to the calculation sheet. I want to show you some. This is a sheet that you'll have, and it's on the back of you. And it's just a simple mathematic. The tithe is the first fruits and the first 10%. Everybody knows that. You can look at your income. You can line it up, and it'll show you where you are, what you're doing, and all that. It's just a tool, and this is just for you to be able to have. So that'll help you to look at it. Because an unexamined life is a life not worth living. Benjamin Franklin said that, I agree. The next sheet shows the breakdown that you have, but I've given you some individual circles on this and the breakdown in the different giving of the giving patterns of the congregation. And this is probably, and in the letters you receive, they're probably 90-95% accurate, so there may be some discrepancies. Please let us know. But this is relatively close. So as you look and you see here, the total giving of this church was a little over $1 million last year, okay, of 1,027 members, and you break it down with all of the ones down to the very end with 71 who zero giving, there's 331. But if you come up to that one to where somewhere it gave us an amount maybe up to about $100 all the way to the end, there's 260 units we're talking about. So when you look at this, the chart, and we'll go to the next one that'll show it a little bit clearer so you can see it there. Of the first 11 units, okay, when you look at that circle there, the pink there, that's 4% of the congregation of 260 units, all right, 4% have given 25% of the entire budget for the year, all right? So when you look at the second part, when you take that next group, that's a combination of 51 units, which means 20% of the congregation of giving units have given 64% of the financial giving to, not the budget, but the financial giving of the congregation. And then when you look at that last one, that red one, it comes to 109, which is 42% of the congregation. Not quite half, right, but 42% have given 88% of the budget of what needs to be. And that's about what we wind up spending for the year. We usually finish about $100,000 to the good. The stewardship is really great here of giving. We don't have to ask for money. That's a good thing about it. By the way, when you give, I don't get a commission off of it, okay? Doesn't benefit me one bit, all right? And that, well, it does, because you're fixing to see. So watch this next one. When you see that green circle that's in there of those units, That's 133 units. That is 51% of the congregation. All right, 51 of the 260 units. And that group gave up. And as you see it, it comes down. Let me make sure if I can see it exactly where it is here. All right. Boy, I've got to get better eyes in here. Where it comes in right there is where it comes in is that 12%. So it basically, if you stepped up to where of all of that area, and based on a $36,000 salary a year, if you gave $3,600, 10%, and again, this is the money part. If that took place, that would increase by 31%. That would increase the budget, the giving, $347,000. Just those small steps to be able to do it. Right? And with that is the ability to be able to reach out and to do way much more ministry that takes place. Right? And so to be able to do this and to let you know of this in that orange unit down there on the aspect of less than $1,000 is 40% almost. All right, is give less than that. So mine is, I want to give you these facts to be able to look at it. And some folks say, well, I give cash. And part of it is to understand that the total cash that we receive for a week is usually anywhere between $270 or $300-something. So if somebody says, well, I give $3,000-$4,000, you know, each time, it's not the truth in that to be able to look at it and see. So, but that is just to show you the giving patterns with this, all right? So all of this is just to see. Now, here's the next one. The blessing of the tithe is basically this. It's not what God wants from you. It's what God wants for you. And so the commitment of this is to be able to do that and the blessings of the tithe and to grow in our family. So I want you to look at that and see and think it through. We'll do this every year, and then the messages are going to apply with that. Then the following week, we'll do Consecration Sunday next week. And then back in here, 10 o'clock on the 25th, which is the last Sunday of the Christian year, we're going to call it Celebration Sunday. It's a New Year's party. James Martin is going to be preaching. He preached at our 9 o'clock, our sunrise service. I had somebody, Rachel Patrick, told me today, not Rachel Patrick, Rachel Henslaw, she said, oh, I'm so excited that James is preaching. She never said that to me before. But reason B was he used to be one of her students, or one of the students in that. So it's going to be exciting. We're going to have three baptisms on that day. It's going to be great. A son and a father, as well as two children as well, are going to be baptized. And then we're going to have a free catered lunch by the Varsity. I mean, how better can you? All that Thanksgiving food you have will be just taken away, every bit of it. And to be here, and we're going to go over, and the staff is going to do that. So you can come. It's our way of saying thank you so much. Bring your friends to be able to come, and on that day at 10 o'clock. And it's going to be a great day of Celebration Sunday. Right? So that's the part. Look at it this week. Pray about it. Think about it, because stewardship matters. I hope you really enjoy the message now as I lead into that. So any questions, always get back in touch with us. All right, now you want to take a breath? With you. How you doing? All right. So good. Thank you, Todd, and to be able to do that. I have been finishing early almost every service. Have you known that? I mean, like, we finished 11:39 one week. You're going to be amazed at this. Do you know how many complaints I have heard about that? None. None. So let's keep a good pattern going here today, all right? So I thank you for your attentiveness. Thank you for letting me share that with you and to be able to look. Now take and apply this of what we're looking at today. So let's go back to our scripture. So Corinth was a very affluent society. It was a seaport aspect. There was a lot of idolatry that was going on there, a lot of tradesmen, a lot of, like I say, affluent. But there was also frustrations and persecution. There was indebtedness. There was all kind of things that were going on in the market and pushers and pressures and everything. And so Paul writes to them, and he says, I want to exhort you by the work of the Church of Macedonia. Now, Macedonia would be Philippi and Thessalonica. Titus was the young man who was pastoring those areas. And he sent this. He said, I want to tell you what's going on with Macedonia, what they're doing, so it will encourage you. Because, you know, stories is what moves us, not statistics probably move a few of us, okay? you know, to be able to do that and want to step up, all right, in some way, or take a step higher. But it's the stories that really cause us to step forward and to break those holds that we have, all right, and to be honest with ourselves. So what took place here, there was great persecution that was going on in Macedonia, and they were under attack, and they were and with the part of it, what happened, you got to realize, is when people walked out from the Jewish faith and became Christians, they were thrown out of the synagogue. Remember the stories where the blind man and different one got thrown out? They said, you know, ask him if he's, you know, the parents said, ask him, you know, because he's on his own, because they didn't want to be thrown out and the business and aspect. And so they were actually doing less because of their faith. It seemed like they were suffering. But he said, they have given so much. They've given to the Lord and they're given to us and they're seeing what we're doing. We're so excited about it to be able to do this. And we want to, and he's saying they're given to us. And they said, that, you know, read the scripture again of how powerful it was that they wanted to continue to give in a time that seemed like they should hold on to what they have. They wanted to let go. And so here's the part, verse 7, it says, but since, and he was talking about the church, and it could talk about us, and it can be parts of our lives. But since you excel in everything, and we are affluent, we've got it going. We not just the church, but every one of us individually, even if you've got struggles, okay? All right. He says, not only, but you excel in everything, in your faith, okay, in your speech, in, people listen to what you say, in your knowledge, you know what to do, and in complete earnestness, you're very sincere, and in the love in which we have kindled in you. It is so alive, and he says this last part, but that you will also excel in the grace of giving. You're doing it, but there's something that you're missing here, and excel in the grace of giving. All right? So let me ask you a few questions. I want you to think about something. So you got to shift a little bit with me. Has someone's generosity touched you? Has it shaped you, someone's generosity? Who did you learn generosity from? Who continues to be an influence in this area in your life? Okay. Now here's fun. What is the most fun you've ever had giving money? I don't mean giving it to Vegas. I mean, that's not what I'm talking about. What is the most fun you've ever had in giving money? Okay. Think about this question. Now here's the last one. How or what do you feel about giving to the church's ministry? How do you feel about that? What do you think about it? Right. So I want to give you a very quick definition, and I'm going to leave this up so you can see it the whole time. But this is the definition of what generosity is. And then I want to talk to you about the ways of culture today that's contrary to God's culture. And then I want to talk this last part about God's plan of His grace of giving. And I want to challenge you, like the last part of 2 Corinthians, is to say, I want to challenge you to grow and excel in the grace of giving. Justice is getting what you deserve, right? Grace is not getting, Grace is not getting what you deserve. Justice is getting what you need, okay? I mean, mercy is getting what you need. Justice is getting what you deserve. Grace is not getting what you deserve. And mercy is getting exactly what you need. Right? And so we're going to see that we can excel in the grace of giving, of not getting what we deserve and giving it in a way where God gives us something and it's what He wants for us instead of what He wants from us. Right? So here's the part. Here's the definition. It is a Christian's unselfish willingness to give in order to make a positive difference for the purposes of Christ. That's what generosity is. That is the practice of it. That is the stewardship. That is so difficult for the American culture because we are extraordinarily materialistic and a consumeristic society. We are immersed in a culture which is fed on acquisitiveness. All right, we have an appetite for more. And for bigger. If you don't think so, I think it's like 85% of the people that have garages don't have cars in them. It's all the other stuff that we've got in there. Okay, don't raise your hand. All right, as a result of it. But you see, we have so much. And what that does is it fosters this sense of self-worth is found in material wealth, and that happiness, you see, is found in possessing. The person with the most toys is the winner. All right. That's why what's happened is 30-year-olds now believe they should have the house and the cars and everything that their parents have worked their entire lives to be able to get. They should have it from right off the bat. That's what the culture teaches. That's why if you're in your 40s, you feel like a failure if you're not a millionaire by now. You see, because of all the stuff that goes out there. And there are hundreds of thousands of couples that struggle under the massive oppressive levels of debt. And when it happens, you get a strain on your marriage. It'll destroy your happiness. It intensifies conflict, and it creates anxiety. Dave Ramsey says it this way. Dave Ramsey, the financial peace planner, says it this way. He says, we buy things that we don't even need with money we don't even have to impress people that we don't even know. I like that. I'm going to say that one more time. Okay, we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people that we don't even know. Do you know that 40% of Americans spend 110% of their income? That's not good math, okay? The question, and here was the question, how much money does it take to be happy? You know what the answer is? Zero? Yeah. There you go. I wish. It's exactly right. But you know the answer? 20% more. 20%. So if the person next to you, if you make 20% more, they believe if they made what you made, they'd be happy. You want to correct them on that? Anybody want to say, that's right? You know, because everybody else wants 20% more. So when you look at this, happiness, you see, is found in possessions. And it caused people to search this goal that keeps receding, keeps moving away. And it leaves you dissatisfied. It's wanting more. It's, you know, you're never quite, it's like eating Chinese food. You get it and then you want more and keep going back, all right? But at the root of it, watch, it's not a financial problem. Because if it was a financial problem, 20% does it. It's a spiritual problem. Because the spiritual problem pushes to the point of discontent, discouragement, and unhappiness. You can't trust your self-sense of worth if it rests on the treasures of this world. So here's the question. So with all of this, with the teaching, at some point, a follower of Jesus, so that's the world's culture. You agree with it? I mean, it's pretty much consumeristic. I mean, we're coming in. But the follower of Jesus needs to decide if they're going to listen to the wisdom of the world or they're going to listen to the wisdom of the Word of God. And so let me just share this just a little bit, because stewardship does matter, okay? Giving generously reprioritizes our lives. What it does, it's like this. If you're in a motel room and you look out and you're in a big city or something and you step back and you've got a little window right there, if you're looking through it, you can only see certain things. But when you step out on the balcony, it shows everything. What stewardship does is it gives you the big picture. When you give generously, it helps you distinguish between what's temporary and what's eternal. What is lasting and what is illusory, all right? What's trustworthy and what's untrustworthy. Now, I really enjoy talking about this. I know you can tell that and everything, because I love talking about first fruits giving and proportionate giving because of what it's done in my life. And it is this side. It is the percentage. It is not just that I'm going to give $100 or I'm going to give $300 or whatever. It's looking at the percentage of moving toward that tithe to be able to do it. It's helping followers understand that everything we have belongs to God. And I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing, when I do this, there is nothing I catch so-called more hell over than anything than preaching this. So did Jesus. 75% of the time he talked about possessions and materials and finances. And they came at him all the time about it. But I'll also say this. I catch way, 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 way much more heaven over it because of folks of their generosity and their testimonies. Okay? Because here's the thing. We do not need much of a reason to not tithe or to not give. Well, the church already has enough. You're already overpaid. I'm underpaid in what I'm doing. I give in this certain way. I line it out. I figure my tithe is my time and talent and all the other stuff. And so there's all the more reasons we can give. I give to other things. We'll talk some of that next week. Here's the reason. We tithe because of God. We withhold because of ourselves or others. We tithe because what God's Word says in His culture, and we choose not to because of the world's culture, the self of somebody else. So here's what I'd say to you. What what you earn as Christians, and if you're a new Christian, this is something that we'll talk about, but what Christian earns belongs to God. That's why you should earn it honestly and in ways and purposes that are consistent in the follower of Christ. You shouldn't be in the mafia. You shouldn't be in the drug lords, okay? You should earn it honestly. What you earn belongs to God. What you spend, the way you spend it, belongs to God too. You should use it in wise ways and not foolishly, to enhance life, not diminish it. All right? What you save belongs to God, because you should invest ways that strengthen society. That's what our market is based upon, to be able to do that, to strengthen, to be able to do it. And also, what you give belongs to God. If you give generously and extravagantly, ways that strengthen the body of Christ. And we struggle with this because in our hearts, our minds are so powerfully shaped by affluence. Right? And we find it harder to give extraordinarily because our society's values shape our perceptions more than our faith does. Now, that was mean preaching, wasn't it? I mean, that's basically it. It's so hard because the values of the world, of society's values, shape our perceptions more than the faith of God. So listen, new Christians, all right? Take a step. Take a step and do this. Think about it. And say, you know, I just can't believe that giving the money would do this. Let me tell you, taking this step with it is, and try it for a few years. Because what happens is people get so overwhelmed with debt. Do you know if you reduced your debt by $5,800, you'd wind up saving about $2,700 a year? You know, to be able to be out from under debt. And the reason a lot of folks can't give, when you spend 110% of your income, broke people can't give if you don't have anything, right? And you can breathe more freely. You can give proportionally. You can grow in the grace of giving, right? And here's the thing. If you've attended this church for 20, 40 years, just like the current church, and you excel in speech and what you do and your love and everything else, all right, but you don't tithe, I hope that God will challenge you to think seriously about this. And here's the question. Is the reason you do not tithe and first fruits to your church, is it a fruit of faithfulness to God, or is it a result of submission to the values of a consumeristic society? That's the question. If you've got a real reason of why you can't, is it a fruit of the faithfulness of God, or is it because of the other? And that's the question that you ask yourself. You know, not me asking, but you asking yourself. So practice the tithe. And by the way, teach your children to do this early. Like over here, teach them to do it early. Because what you will do is you will teach them to learn to be generous instead of greedy. Because that's what the world will teach. Get all you can. What is it? Get all you can, can all you get, and sit on the can. Okay? That's what it tells you to do, all right? They'll learn to be giving and not self-indulgent. They'll learn to be charitable and not self-absorbed. If you teach them to do this and give, they'll be out of debt. They won't have to live with you the rest of their lives. Somebody ought to say amen to that, you know, to be able to do it. Tithing, you see, it changes churches to accomplish great things. Every pew that you're sitting in, every hymn book that you have, the organ and music that you hear, the handbell, in all likelihood, was a result of somebody else's generosity, grace of giving to be able to be there and to be able to do that. And some of you have done that and built. So we worship in a sanctuary that we didn't build, except for Mr. Maddox and Miss Van Dyke and Harold. There's only a few people that were around when this place moved over here in this area to be able to be here. All right, but here's the part. Giving generously, and the difference is the aspect is to be able, faithful congregations will talk about this, okay? They will talk about it in a way and not avoid it. They will talk about faithful stewardship to be able to get it. And it's the faithfulness of the life in the giver. The emphasis, listen, is not on the need of the church to receive, it's on the need of the giver to give. We're not talking about budget. We're talking about the need of us to give. That's why here we're not obsessed with income or survival or maintenance. Aren't you glad? And I would never do it. I promise you, I'd never do it. Aren't you glad you don't have to be to where we need to have more money or they're going to have to cut the power off? Ours is an end with. It's an aspect of the ministries of what we do to be able. Not only do we not have to ask to not have our power cut off, we are able to give in the lives of others that they can actually have the power on, that they can have it, the struggles and those that's having the hard time, that we see the life, and we do. We are unselfishly willing to give in order to make a positive difference for the purposes of Christ. It's the need, not the church to receive, but the giver to be able to give. Fruitful congregations, you see, focus on changing lives, not on scarcity. That's what Paul was talking about when he said to the people. He said, I want you to excel in the grace of giving. Let me tell you a closing story, and then we'll wrap up, okay? So this grandfather came to a baptism, just like we're going to have in a few weeks. And there were more than one being baptized. His granddaughter was being baptized. And at the end, they were taking some pictures. And so this one mother handed, was getting some out of her bag, and she handed this little boy to this grandfather. And people kept coming up and saying stuff. He said, no, this one's not mine. This one's not mine. The next day, he calls the pastor and says, I want to come in and talk to you, which is not good, usually, okay? Because if you call me, I'm going to say, what do you need to talk about? Do I need an attorney, you know, or whatever would be here? But so he comes in and he says, I want to talk to you that I'd like to include the church in my will. And so the pastor was a little bit stunned, and so he's asking what brought this about. By the way, that's bad. Go ahead and get the will and everything worked out and get all the details worked out. And then you ask him what's going on. So he says, what happened? And his eyes started watering. He said, yesterday, he said, something happened. I was holding this child, and I kept telling people, and they joined the church, and I kept telling people that this was not mine. And then I realized, it dawned on me that he was part of my family. He was my church family. And I had the responsibility of caring for that little boy just like I do my own granddaughter. All right? He said, I've been a member of this church for 40 years, and in God's eyes, I'm a grandfather to more than just my own. And I've taken care of my children in my will, and now I want to be able to take care of the children of the church after my estate's being able to be settled. And I want to do it in a way because of the way in which they are children of my own in the same way. You see, those who practice the tithe, those who practice the practice of generosity, have a God-given vision. They have a faith to plant seeds and grow trees under whose shade they may never sit. Okay? So think about it as you go this week. Has someone's generosity touched you? Has it shaped you? From whom did you learn generosity? Who continues to be that source of influence in your life? What is the most fun you've ever had in giving money away? And here's the last one. How do you feel about giving money to God's church? And ask yourself the question, do I have a heart of generosity? Do I give out of generosity or do I give out of obligation? But everything we have can be a chance where we honor God. Make a decision to be proportional of giving toward God. Last statement. How you use what you have does matter to God. Our lack of giving may not keep us out of heaven, but it may keep heaven away from other people. To be able to do it. Faithful, vibrant congregations unapologetically talk about and encourage extravagant generosity, even in difficult times, because we choose to listen to the wisdom of God and His Word rather than the world and culture. That's the difference. Thank you for choosing to live for Christ. I encourage you to have a great week as you make your commitment. Let's pray. Mighty God, for the great grace you give to us, it speaks to us. To look and examine our lives. Everything we have is yours, and how we use it should bring honor and glory to you. So may we grow just as the Church of Corinth did, that was struggling at times in their own lives, learn to grow in the grace and the glory of giving. May it be a beautiful aroma in our sight forever. In Christ's name, amen.